Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Hello, good to have your company. Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast. I'm Peter Capsanis. We've never stopped short showcasing a growing number of ASX-listed mining and resources companies who are boldly stepping out into new frontiers. Africa, Alaska, South America, just to name a few. Freehill Mining Limited, with its ASX code of FHS, is an Australian mining and exploration company headquartered in Melbourne with a focus on iron ore magnetite, copper, and gold resources in Chile. It listed on the ASX in January 2017. Its prized asset is the Yerbas Buenas project in Chile, which means good herbs, and it's just released an update on its feasibility study. To tell us more, we're joined by company CEO Peter Hinner. Welcome to Small Caps.
Thanks very much, Peter, for the chance to chat more about our project and give investors a bit of an update.
Good to have you. First of all, Peter, paint me a picture of this project. I've seen some photos on your website, and it's quite an idyllic location, to say the least. So for anyone who hasn't seen it, paint us a picture where it's at. Where does it lie in proximity to Santiago, the capital of Chile?
The major town or city is a place called La Serena, Coquimbo. It's actually two cities that have merged together. So La Serena is essentially the Gulf Coast of Chile. The beaches are just literally elbow to elbow in over the summer period. Coquimbo is the original port and more the commercial area. It's about 50 minutes flying time north of Santiago. It's got quite a large airport with numerous flights a day. You can drive from Santiago up there on a very, very good quality highway in about 5 hours. Our project's located directly up the highway, just to the north of the city on the coast. About 2 kilometres from a small fishing village called Los Hornos, which is quite famous for its seafood. So it's sitting on a headland overlooking a small bay, as I said, typically a fishing village with lots of amazing little cafes, quite an unsophisticated village. And our project is just due north of that along the highway. So you travel 25 minutes north of La Serena, past Los Hornos, and another couple of clicks up the road, turn off the main highway, four-lane highway, and I think about 2 kilometres of quite good gravel road. It's a public road, and that's the project site. So we're about 1,000 metres inland off the coast, some quite high sandy dunes, just some amazing views, and half the property is relatively flat. It sits on a large sand dome. The northern half of the property starts to go up quite steeply up into some 600-800 metre mountains, which form the beginning of the El Tofo mountain range and fault. So, absolutely beautiful area, very unique.
Well, I think Chile's Tourism Commission owe you a lot after that big plug. Look, the company's progressing with a feasibility study in relation to the project. What's the current state of play in terms of the work program? What's the work program focused on, and what updates can we expect to see out over this over the next few months?
Over the next 6 months, our main priority is getting the pre-feasibility study started. So when I say started, that means rolling along smoothly with a bit of momentum. So some of the work has already started. So we've already been testing drilling core over the past several weeks using very reputable laboratories in both Chile and Australia, for example, SGS in Santiago and another metallurgical laboratory. That work's about 80% completed. The reason I mention that is that the results from that test work, which is crushing test work and looks at recovery of iron, etc., that eventually allows us to design a process circuit. And that's really one of the first steps in getting the main part of the pre-feasibility study done, which is plant design and costing. So just as a bit of a background on feasibility studies, they typically look at each major area of a project, such as marketing, potential ports, product export, processing, design of a plant, mine site layout, obviously, and mining scheduling, and important things like power source. So we work our way systematically through each discipline. Just on the topic of feasibility study, I suppose, and and the whole COVID-19 issue. Look, it's not slowed down or impacted any portion of our study work or exploration work at the moment. And our team in Chile has managed to get all the necessary permits to travel and so forth with various consultants that are visiting the site. So, it's fortunate that none of our development work so far has been impacted.
More recently, you received shareholder approval to acquire the adjoining El Dorado project. For anyone that's new to the story, can you recap on the strategy behind this acquisition and I guess what benefits will it deliver to your work to build a major magnetite mining operation in Chile?
Yeah, look, the acquisition being approved by the shareholders was another great milestone for the project, and it allows us to commit to the next level of exploration and hopefully add some more magnetite structures and tons to our resource inventory. And we hope to be able to deliver more good news in the not too distant future based on that exploration. In terms of history, I suppose, getting the actual concessions was a coup in itself, and there's been a huge amount of serious negotiation by various parties that's gone into acquiring the ground and then organising to get the exploration effort kicked off quickly so we could hit the ground running. So we sort of run a few things in parallel. The background to it is that the geophysics on our original Yerbas Buenas project area, which going back 3 years was 398 hectares, it showed some magnetic features on the very northern boundary, which I think in some very early press releases we referred to that one as the YB7 structure, which appeared to be open to the north on the property. And also there were some signs of artisanal mining, et cetera, historical stuff. So it looked prospective from the outside, the El Dorado area. It's sitting on the El Tofo and Atacama Fault in a region with some pretty solid mineral history, historical mining in La Higuera, which is several kilometres to the northeast. El Tofo, which is South America's oldest iron ore mine, sits several kilometres directly along the mountain range to our north. So, certainly in a very prospective area, and there'd been small amounts of sampling by others on the El Dorado property prior to us picking it up. We were given access to some of that data, and we eventually verified it before starting the negotiating process. So getting El Dorado concessions was a logical step to allow us to carry out some detailed exploration and further evaluate it. So been a good opportunity, and we've got a chance to prove if there's something there and potentially expand our iron ore resource. Just to reinforce the issue that, we've got a band of magnetic structures that run from the very southern end of our original project area. Then we picked up Arenas 11 to our south, which had an extension of one of these major structures, which is what we drilled late last year, and which forms the core of our feasibility study. This north-south trend of magnetite structures continues up into El Dorado. So, it was a logical step to try and follow that mineralisational structures and follow the continuity of it. So our aim is to keep increasing the size of our magnetite resource as much as possible, and thus the mine life of our project.
I want to move to the corporate side of the business. We noticed that Freehill recently completed a $700,000 placement to existing shareholder and strategic investor Gavin Ross. What kind of an influence has he been for the company?
Pretty significant, really. Look, we've had a great take-up on our various placements. Gavin Ross has been a tremendous supporter of our project in recent times, having invested significantly, and I think that's an understatement. So I think that highlights his ongoing belief in the project and the Freehills management team. So it also bolsters our bank balance, which is looking a lot more solid and allows us to carry our work programs into the next year. I think probably the simplest way to look at this is that we've delivered in a very timely manner on every single promise or commitment to do work that we've made in the past. And I don't see any change to this. But probably to put some of that in the context, exploration by its very nature is a speculative game, but we try and minimise the risk in that by finishing everything that we say will do. So, you know, that's been our main aim, to hopefully deliver more than what we promised. And I think our share price over the past several months gives the clearest indication of where we're going and what will continue to go on, and probably best to let the share price speak for itself.
Peter, what can you tell us about the nature of the targets identified in the recently completed ground magnetic survey?
Yeah, look, I'm not able to preempt our findings before we sort of formally release that information to the ASX, but suffice to say that we've found a number of magnetic targets, and at this stage we're not sure about issues such as thickness, depth, possible grade. What I can say is that in the Chilean iron belt and the Atacama, it's typical to find magnetite mineralisation in association with copper and gold, and vice versa, finding copper and gold within magnetite mineralisation. So, you know, a really, really interesting area mineralogically. Exploration quite often won't throw one up without the other. They occur together. But if we ultimately identify sizable magnetite structures or prospective gold and copper mineralisation, then we'll be starting drilling as soon as we possibly can. And on the point of drilling, because we're not 4,000 metres up in the Andes, where a lot of other projects occur, we're not constrained by winter weather or access issues. So we can organise drill rigs easily, cheaply, and at very short notice. So projects up in the Andes can only drill in basically summer, because it's just too cold up there in winter. So, but we can drill all year round, and we've got a modern well-serviced city 25 minutes down the road with several drilling companies, laboratories, great mining educated workforce. So that allows us to execute our various programs pretty quickly if necessary.
And Peter, just before we wrap things up, you clearly have a high level of activity underway across the business. What are some of the key developments investors should be keeping an eye out for over the next few months?
Our main focus has and will continue to be the development of our cornerstone magnetite project, so that we can get a mine up and running. We want to get into the iron ore making and selling business as quickly as possible, and that motivation goes back at least 5 years with our founding shareholders who essentially started this company. So we're in a unique and extremely lucky situation to have a pellet feed plant just down the highway that's used our magnetite product for over 3 years and want more of it because they believe it's a very good quality material. So that pellet feed plant's owned by Chile's largest iron ore company. We're also lucky to have existing ports nearby, and these provide an opportunity to export if that's the best economic solution compared to selling locally pellet feed plant. So many projects have got great resources, but they can be, you know, several hundred kilometres from the nearest port, and the operating costs associated with getting a product to the port can sometimes stop them very early on in the project. We've got three potential port options ranging from 18 kilometres away to 50 kilometres away in the city of Coquimbo, one of them being a public port. So all of that by sealed existing roads. We're also in a pro-mining country with low sovereign risk, with a lot of modern facilities and a great technical services industry. And probably most importantly in terms of mining projects and countries outside of Australia, a wonderful population of people that's very easy to get along with. So those are the reasons the guys started our company and chose South America and Chile in particular. So to that end, we'll just keep working hard on delivering a pre-feasibility study by the end of the year. And as I said, that timeline might change slightly as we get further into the study. And we're also going to continue doing a lot of exploration on the El Dorado concession, trying to expand our magnetite resource. And the other thing that we always keep an eye open for, and investors have seen this now with the acquisition of the tenement to the south in El Dorado, that is we're always on the lookout for additional property which complements the project that we've got. So, you know, whether that's adjoining our current concessions or whether it's nearby or something, we'll keep an eye out to try and add shareholder value.
I'm sure quite a few investors listening in will be buoyed by that, and I'm sure they'll be looking with a keen interest ahead to that Christmas, December timeline for your pre-feasibility study. Peter Henner from Freehill Mining, thanks so much for your time today on the Small Caps podcast.
Thanks very much, Peter. Great.